These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee.
Of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the
There's no God like Jehovah.
Right. Amen.
There's no truth like His message. Amen. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You.
Sing it to Him now.
To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of power and love as we sing, holy, holy. power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to sing.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Sure, appreciate that special. I think that's a song that people that weren't message believers wrote, I believe. And it makes you wonder if they knew. It seems like that's a song that really only message believers really know what it really means. So we just thank the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. Tonight I'm going to preach on, I'm going to take a look for a little topic from Luke chapter 24. Current events made clear. Brother Bob, you're plagiarizing Brother Branham. that would be one of the best compliments you could give me, is that you're just saying what Brother Branham said. So I'm just, obviously what sermon I'm going to preach from tonight is modern events made clear by prophecy. But, you know, there's a lot of things going around today, a lot of things in the news, things happening over the last couple of years. And it'd be nice if we could make sense of all these things, wouldn't it? The only way we can make sense of it is by looking into God's word. So let's read. Before we read, let's go to the author and ask him to bless the reading. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to be able to gather together, Lord, and look into your word. And we just, Lord, we pray, Lord, that tonight will not be a vain gathering, Lord. We know many have traveled for a long way from different parts of the surrounding area and come, Lord, not to see one another or to see me, but Lord, we want to see you, as we were singing just now, Lord. Open your eyes of our heart, Lord God, because we want to see you from our heart by faith, Lord, as we look into your word. And we just invite you, Lord, to move among us tonight, Lord Jesus. And whatever the needs of your people are, Lord Jesus, you know, Lord. I don't know, but you know, as you look into their hearts, Lord Jesus, whatever their need is, their desire, Lord, in the middle of the week here, Lord Jesus, that you'll strengthen them, Lord God, and speak to their need, Lord, because we know that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that tonight you'll just let it strike exactly where it needs to, Lord. We ask the blessing upon your word now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 24 reads, and if you remember at the beginning of Luke chapter 24, that Jesus had risen from the grave, and everybody had been going in their little groups. Mary and Joanna and the other Mary, the mother of James, went, and they saw the two angels there and with the shining light, and they went back and told everybody, and everybody thought it was just idle fables, because, you know, it was a group of ladies, and they went and told all the men, and none of the men believed, because, you know, sometimes that's how it is sometimes. And then Peter ran, and he looked into the tomb, come on now. Peter looked into the tomb, and he saw the grave clothes laying over there, but he ran back to tell his story, and he said, I didn't see any. I saw the grave clothes, but there wasn't a body laying there, but I didn't see the body. So that kind of sets the background as we read this, that everybody's looking for truth. Everybody's looking for evidence. And there wasn't a clear something they could really hang on to yet. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We trusted him, and today's the third day, and we hadn't seen any evidence. We've heard a lot of stories, and a lot of things we'll put up in that category of idle talk. Peter coming back and saying, well, I saw the garments laid over there, but I didn't see a body. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. We didn't see him. They didn't see him. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What's he admonishing them for? Not for not listening to those people, but for not believing what the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, Brother Branham said, and when he preached this sermon, he said, if the people in the days of the Lord Jesus would have only sought God and knowed what was just about to take place, they would not have condemned Jesus to death. But the reason it was because the scriptures had to be fulfilled because the Jews had to be blinded. We all are aware of that. Now, he's talking about the Jews had to be blinded for the word of God to be manifested. Now, these two, Cleopas and his friend, were walking along, and they were blinded. It was held from them. And Brother Branham will explain a little bit later in this sermon why they did not understand who that was talking to them and why did they did not understand what had taken place. And Brother Branham said, do you realize that that's promised again in this very age that we're living? The very age that we're living, those things, those same things are promised again. The Laodicean church age, this seventh church age that we're in now, is naked and miserable and blind and don't know it. This same church age is blind and doesn't realize the day and the hour that we're living in. So now think of that, what we're talking about tonight. That current events, modern events, the things that are happening today, right now, are made clear by prophecy. Now, when Brother Branham preached that sermon, you would think that maybe he would talk about politics or maybe he would talk about things going on in current events that you could read in the newspaper, but he never talked about those kind of things. He talked about, what did he talk about? He talked about the Word of God. He went to back to look at the Word of God. And so, you know, there's a lot of strange things that are happening in the world today. The war, and somebody asked me, I think it was one of my kids, Dad, are you going to preach on Ukraine tonight? Or are you going to preach on Joseph Biden? That's what they said. Are you going to preach on Biden? And there's a lot of things to talk about in current events. But, you know, really, if you want to see what's really going on today, it's actually something that's secret. So something that's a mysterious happening, something that's taking place in the supernatural realm, something that's taking place in this building and all around the world, all in different churches all around the world. Something's taking place. And what is happening is the word of God for this age is being fulfilled. Now the Laodicean church age was blind, and they don't recognize it, just the same as they didn't recognize it in that first church age, just the same as Cleopas and his friend failed to recognize it. Amen. Brother Branham said the same as he blinded them back there for the purpose of getting his message through to the elected people. He's promised to do the same thing today. And when was it promised? In the day as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, when the world would be in this sin-sick condition, in this horrible condition, perverse. Men and women not knowing what gender they are, what they are, confused, a state of confusion that's past understanding, so confusing that when you talk to people in the world, they're in a state of, their mind is in a condition where it's almost, it makes you, your jaw drop sometimes. How you wonder, you know, in one place, Brother Adam said that the only people that would be, really have a sane mind would be a Holy Ghost filled Christian. And you can just go out to talk to people at work and people going into a panic constantly in turmoil, and to see that God's word is being fulfilled. And now look around and see that the condition that the earth is in, and you can recognize, you can begin to understand by looking at God's word that something is happening. Amen. And understand with clarity, get clarity about what's taking place. Amen. Modern events made clear by prophecy. And Brother Ramsey said, this is a horrible time, but it's the most glorious time in the world to preach the gospel. Think about that. Now, this is a horrible time when the whole world is in sin sickness and darkness. And it's even the people that proclaim to be Christianity now, they're just drinking Starbucks in the church. And they made Christianity even like a laughing stock, where all it is is showmanship and so forth. But yet, this is the greatest time to preach the gospel if you really know the truth of the gospel, because the word and its truth has been poured out. And now, more than any other age now, we've got something to preach. We've really got something to preach. What are we preaching about? Now we're preaching the fullness. As the whole Bible has been opened up to reveal Christ in his fullness back in the church again. And Brother Ram said, if I could have stood on the brink of time before it come into existence, and the Father would have looked at me and said, what time down through these ages would you want to preach? I don't want it right now. That's right. Just before his coming. Why right now? Because, you know, thinking in the days of Luther, you'd be preaching kind of through like a little slat in the fence, like it were, you know, like Paul said, we look through a vadis or a lattice, you know, where you can't quite see the whole picture. And the picture began to unfold a little bit more in Wesley's day and a little bit more in Pentecost as the gifts were restored. But now we can see plainly. We can see plainly what the things that Paul preached in maybe darkness and the things that Irenaeus preached. But now we can see it plainly. And Brother Abraham said about Sodom and Gomorrah today, he said, it looks like it's a true time of perversion. Men are trying to wear women's clothes and women wearing man's clothes and man leaving their hair like women and women having hair like man. You think about what he saw back then and now what it's turned into now, where they got men going into women's bathrooms and men changing their, getting surgeries that look like women and all different kinds of things. It's turned into just a mess. But it's because God's word is being fulfilled. He said, what's the matter with this people anyhow? He said, as the very threads of decency and honor left this nation and these people, this world. And if I say this to respects and all my brethren and sisters in Christ, one of these days somebody's going to say, isn't it written that these things should happen first? What things should happen first? The things that are happening right now. The things, what things that God would send a prophet before his second coming, that God would have seven messengers down through the seven church ages, that God would have people in every age, that God would have a predestinated people in every age. And that means in this age that you would be part of that body, that he would call you out, that he would have you set aside before the foundation of the world and have you reserved to believe this word in this day. And somebody is going to eventually look back and say, I thought that these things were going to happen, and they're happening right now. You see why we can have clarity, where we can look into what God is doing. Look at this current events of this age and see with clarity why. Because not because we watch Fox News or CNN or because we watch any news channel or read any newspaper, but because we read the news of God's word. Aren't you glad that you can look into God's word and read it like a newspaper, that you can open up the pages of Revelation and know what the seven church ages are and know what the seven seals are and know what the seven thunders are? You can read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Hebrews and know what he's talking about, because it's become like a newspaper to you. And you can read Malachi 4 and you can say, I find myself in that scripture. You can read Revelation 10 and you can read Luke 17 and you can say, I find myself in the Bible, because you can read it like a newspaper. You remember back when the news would come out and it would say, the Orville and Wilbur Wright, they were bicycle people, and now they repaired bicycles, and now they made a little airplane, and they took off, and they were able to fly and putter around in the air for a little bit. And then you'd flip over in the newspaper, and you'd read about how that now they're launching up rockets, and they're going into space, and Yuri Gagarin went around the earth and came back, and then a little bit longer, Neil Armstrong went up and landed on the moon and did all the things that he was doing. You know, all those things are typing. You can look at the news and see that things are advancing, but you can look at God's word and see that something is advancing. What is it advancing? The strength of God's word and his people. The strength of the power of the Holy Ghost is advancing. And Brother Bram said, now we want to be posted to know what's to take place for this age that we live in. God has allotted his word to each age, so much to each age. He said, what good would it done Wesley to continue on with the Lutheran message? What good would it done Pentecostals to continue on with the Methodist message? Or what good will it do Pentecost to continue on when the bride's being called? See, we're right up into the seed time. We're coming up into the seed time, into the time where all of those things that's grown and it's grown until all of that strength is bubbling up into the seed. Everything, all the power of it, everything that went into making that plant grow up from a seed out of the ground into the shuck, into every little part of that plant is coming up into the seed. We're right up into the seed time. What are you saying, Brother Bob? I'm saying look into God's word and see where you're at. Look into what the Bible says. Look into what the message says and see where we're at. And when you can see where we're at, it'll give you faith. It'll give you confidence of what you're doing here. It'll cause you to, it'll build up your faith. And what our faith is being built up to a place where we can take a body change, where we're going to step into a place where you'll see the limbs restored. You'll see your body be able to be repaired. You say, well, Brother Bob, I wonder how that could even be possible. Well, we're talking about a body change. We're talking about your atoms of your bodies, the molecules of your body being changed. How hard will it be for God to heal your toothache? How hard would it be for God to heal your leg tonight if we're coming up to seed time? Seed time is the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost back in the body of the believers, back in his church. And Brother Bob said, we're living in the day when the manifestation of the word of God has to come to a different age than the Pentecostal age. It's got to come to a different age. It's got to come to fullness. What kind of fullness? The fullness where Christ is manifested in his fullness back in the church again. Now, Brother Ram said, notice he likened it to a grain of wheat. The bride, the reason that God had to let it go like that. That fine, real, genuine church that was established on the day of Pentecost had grown and grown since the day of Pentecost into a great church and had to fall into the earth in that dark age and be buried like all seed does. It had to die so we could come forth in the Reformation again. It come forth in the person of a Reformation, Martin Luther. And from there, just like a stalk of wheat coming up, the first thing comes up, there's two little blades. Then it keeps adding more blades. Up come Martin Luther and then Zwingli and on down Calvin. And as they moved on, finally, it goes into a tassel. Now, that was John Wesley in the Wesley age. It had a pollen drop back. From there come the Pentecostal age, so close, just like a real grain of wheat if you look at the stalk. But if you'll take that wheat and move it back, there's not one grain in it at all. It's only a shuck in the shape of a grain. But it's set there for a purpose to shelter the grain until if the sun hits it like that, it'd kill it. It's got to stay in there until a certain time. It's got to stay in there until a certain time. And all the life. Now, how do you know what time it is? How do you know what time it is in the natural? You look at a calendar and you can find out what time it is. You look at a clock on the wall and you can see what time it is. How do you know what time it is and look into God's word and you can see that it's time. And all the life leaves the shuck as it left the stalk, left the pollen, leaves the shuck and goes into the wheat and forms again just like it was down in the ground. And he said the life goes through that and goes right on to make the wheat. And when the wheat comes, that life that's traveled through that wheat, the resurrection brings the whole thing out, brings up for the rapture. Now see, he talked about how in the life of Jesus Christ, his message started off with divine miracles. It started off with him feeding all the ones with the loaves of fishes and the bread. It started off with him. He said, look at himself when he come, the wonderful little prophet, the rabbi, the prophet of Galilee. Why, his ministry was wonderful. He was welcome in church and his ministry went through different phases. And you can see Brother Branham's ministry went through different phases. It went through three stages. It went through three fools. And just like Brother Branham, just like Jesus, where Brother Branham said, one day he sat down and he said, I and my Father are one. He said, oh my, that was out, away with such a fella. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Why, he's a vampire. Get away from such a person. See, there was something had to follow that sign. Something followed. The shuck held it, but now the shuck pulls away. It has to. And you can see in Jesus' life, his ministry, there was three stages. And in Brother Branham's ministry, there was three stages. And what about the church? You've got to have three stages of your life. Three stages where you move from grace to grace until finally you come into a place where you too can say, I and my Father are one. How are you going to say that? Not because you agree with the filth of the world, not because you agree with all the different churches and all the other false doctrines, but because you have eaten the word precept upon precept, line upon line, until you become in union with the word, until the word and you become one, and it's Christ manifested in you just like it was with Jesus. Just as Jesus walked in flesh on the earth, the bride is going to walk in oneness in the flesh, because she will be the word. She will be that germ wheat. She will be that corn of wheat come forth to manifest. Brother Brown said, we're at the end of denominations. The wheat's taking shape. But what's the matter with the wheat now? It must lay in the presence of the sun to ripen before the combine picks it up. Why has it got to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen? You get taught and you taught and taught, and you begin to understand the word, and the word begins to open up to you. But now it's got to live. Now it's got to live, and it lays there and it ripens and ripens until it actually becomes. What's happening is every strength, every molecule of power in that plant is being funneled up into that little wheat plant, and into that corn of wheat, and the wheat plant begins to bow over in humility because something's happening. Something supernatural. The wheat plant begins to bow because life is in that wheat and in that corn of wheat. White life is in that seed. And you can look at the whole rest of that wheat plant, and it's all changed because the life has gone into the corn of wheat. And now the life is back just like it was when that wheat plant was first planted in the ground, when that seed was first planted in the ground. Brother Robin said, now the events that we see taking place, it's absolutely showed in the Bible of every age. We think we're all out of cater, but we're not. Everything's moving just exactly with God's word. Everything that is happening is made clear by Scripture. You know, you can read the Bible and understand everything that is happening. You can understand the King of the North doing things. You can understand why the world is the way it is. You can look in Revelation 13 and see the history of the United States. You can look through the Bible and see exactly what's taking place. Now, Brother Brown said the Bible is a different book from any other sacred book. There's no book like the Bible because the Bible is God in word form. Now you think about that. The Bible is God in word form. The Bible that we read here is God in word form. What does that mean now? What does that mean for me? You know, if I wrote an autobiography of myself, my autobiography might have things about my commute to work and how long I sat in traffic and different life events that will make people laugh and be funny and things like that. But this Bible is not just an autobiography of God. It's God in letter form. Now, if you could take everything about me, for example, and all my characteristics and things, and put in a book, it wouldn't just be an autobiography. It would be me in letter form. You could read that and get an understanding of all of my characteristics and everything about me. And you see what God did when He put Himself in letter form. It's everything that He is. It's the three stages of redemption. It's the seven seals. It's everything. The stories and things that are unfolded in people's lives of Abraham and Ruth. They're more than just stories, but they're actually the attributes of God, His redemptive power and Him manifesting Himself in healing and things. And so He took Himself and He actually put Himself in. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are not just words. They're not just words, but they are spirit and they are life. They're not just things that like an autobiography of me or a biography or nice little stories about me, but they're actually myself, the things of myself spoken out to you. Now, what that means to you and I is that if we read the Bible and the Spirit quickens what we have received, then it will actually transform it into God within us. Brother Brown said, a word is a thought expressed. God's thinking expressed it. His words through the prophets, and they wrote the Bible, which is in word form. And Jesus called it a seed, and any seed will bring forth of its kind if it's in the right condition, the right atmosphere. It's got to come according to the word if it comes from God, because it's to vindicate or to prove God's presence. And he foreknew all these things. By his foreknowledge, he foreordained. It's called in the Bible predestinated every age to its place, and every man to its place, and every messenger to its place. He is God. The devil ain't pulling nothing over on him. And he's God, and he has ordained everything to take place and falls just exactly in line with his word. So if we can see by his word, what age and what time we're living, you'll see it right here in the Bible. These are Brother Brown's words. You'll see it right here in the Bible of this age, what's supposed to take place at this time. Why is that? Because in this Bible is what God will do in this age. In this Bible are the names of those, the attributes of those written to that will be redeemed in this age. Do you realize that Brother Brown said that when I think it was Elijah, when he got in a mopey condition and began to wonder if anybody else believed but him, God opened up the seven seals to him, and he began to recognize that there's 7,000 that believe like him. That also, why? Because he showed Elijah the names. I know that's maybe a kind of a mystical concept, but when you read the Bible and you begin to recognize your place in it, it begins to open up, because it's more than just an autobiography. It's a supernatural spiritual book. It's actually God in letter form, that he put all of his characteristics and all of his attributes in a form that you can read and meditate on and sit in your closet and think about. And when you believe it, something supernatural takes place, that the letters on the page leap off and then become a living reality to you. Do you realize what you have access to this morning, tonight, that you have access to? You can sit alone in your house and open up the Bible on your table and read the words of life, and it will come off and change your life and change your heart and change your thinking and change your mood. It'll change your home and change your atmosphere. It'll make you think different. It'll make you not worry about Ukraine and worry about COVID or worry about the things taking a place in the world, because there's power in the written word of God. There's power in his word. It's not just a book. Brother Ram said this book is a prophet. It's a different from any other book. This book is a prophet. This book is a prophet. The Bible is the word of God foretelling the future. It foretells because it's forewarned. He said, if God sends anything he says and promised in the Bible, that he would do nothing upon the earth until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. Now, so this Bible was written by the prophets, by God speaking through the prophets, bringing that supernatural element of himself into the written form. And then that makes this book a supernatural book that can prophesy of the future, that speaks of things that are to come. And that's why when you read this, the Bible, the scripture, Scripture says that when the Holy Ghost comes, he will open up these things to you and show you things to come and bring things to your remembrance. What's he bringing to your remembrance? He's bringing to you the supernatural element of the things that you read, and he's showing you things to come, because he's making the things that you read leap off the page, and it becomes a prophet to you, where you don't have to stand confused, but you can look with confidence, knowing what's happening in the earth. What is a prophet? An inspired teacher, a proclaimer of the will of God. Somebody that can speak by inspiration and lift from the letter of the page, make it the living reality, speaking a proclaimer of the actual will of God. And Brother Brown said, and to reveal this word, one say, well, I got this, and bless God, it's like that. That's just the way it was when Jesus came the first time. Everybody has a doctrine. Everybody has this. It'll have to be something sent to us from God. See, a man can say anything. See why we had to have a prophet in this day? Because man got so confused. a man can say anything, but unless God interprets that word. See, now we have our own interpretation. We say it means this. So what day are we living in? Brother Adam said, what a time it is that we're living in, something like a calendar. You look at the calendar to find out what day of the year you're living in. And you look at God's Bible to see what age we're living in. He said, we're not living in the Methodist age, the Baptist age. We're living in the bride age. What is the bride age? The time, not you're past all the little petty things of playing around. Like we've gone beyond the precepts. We're coming into, he said, the calling, bringing back to God through a channel that he promised to bring it back in. Through a channel. He promised to do it. What God has promised and what God does proves that it's God doing his own interpreting of his word. I know it's Wednesday night. I'm going to slow down a little bit so we don't get tired. I know how it is in the middle of the week. You're like, oh, I can't take too much doctrine, Brother Bob. Brother Adam said, the Pharisees missed seeing the confirmation of the promises of God's word being fulfilled. The Pharisees had their idea, the Sadducees, Herodians, and they had their ideas of how the Messiah would come, but he come contrary to every one of them, but exactly with the word. Jesus said the same thing was here. If you would have known me, you should have known my day. Now think about what story we're trying to tell. We're telling the story of Cleopas and his friend walking along the way, and they didn't recognize who that was walking with him. And they didn't recognize that the things that they had heard about, that Jesus was risen from the dead, were true. They didn't recognize that Jesus was walking in flesh among them, that he was right there beside them. Actually, you wonder, now put that in the present tense. Do you realize that God is manifested in flesh again back in this day, and he's sitting on the pew next to you? He's actually in the church with you. He's here. He's moving down the aisles, and they didn't recognize it. Do you recognize it? Do we recognize it? Do we, and how will you recognize? Not even maybe so much because of what you can see with your natural eyes or because of what you can feel with your emotions, but because you look into the word. Because you look into the word. He said, Jesus said the same thing was here. If you would have known me, you should have known my day. You say, well, Moses, we have Moses. Said, why? If you would believe Moses, you'd believe me because he wrote of me. If you believed Moses, you'd believe me. Now, you think what a powerful statement that is. Now, that what that means is if you take somebody that's a believer, you can put them in any church, in any age, and they're still going to be a believer. You could take Abraham and put him on the ark. He's still going to be a believer. You could take Noah and put him in Laodicea. He's still going to be a believer. That means now, if we carry that through, let's reason that out now. That means if you're in a church where you think, well, if I be over at that other church over there, I could be a whole lot better believer. No. Abraham wouldn't have been a better believer on the ark, and Noah wouldn't have been a better believer down there with Elijah or Elisha. You're going to be a believer wherever you are. You're going to be a believer because a believer is going to believe. A believer is going to believe. Now take that and meditate on it and drink it up and think about it on the way home maybe. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, we've been reading, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And Brother Ramon said in Hebrews 1:1, God in sundry times wrote the Bible by his own chosen way. He never wrote it by theologians, and neither does he interpret by theologians. There never was a time that the theologians ever had an interpretation of the word of God. The interpretation comes only to a prophet. And the only way we're ever going to get out of this mess is for God to send us that prophet, which we believe he did. Just exactly the only way it's going to be done. Now listen what he said that prophet did. Now he begins to compare the prophet that we've heard with John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist had a message, and his message was, Brother Branham said there was coming a time when God would make a sacrifice out of the Lamb of God, a man. That was John the Baptist's message, that God's going to have a sacrifice. I'm not even worthy to loose the buckles on his shoe. I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy to be. You need to be baptizing me. But Jesus said, we've got to go through with all the things that the scripture says, but go ahead and baptize me. And John said, he would know him when he come, that John would recognize him when he come. Now, come on now, think spiritually now. I know it's a little deep for Wednesday night. He said he was sure of his message. This is what John said. He said, he's standing right among you now, and you don't know it. That's what John's message was. His message was to declare that he's here right now. He's right among you, and you don't know it. Now think about the message that Brother Branham came to preach to us. That he's, and you will see it in later on in this message, that he's here. That we've come back to the corn of wheat, and he's here. He's in flesh here. He's manifesting himself now. And do we recognize it, or are we like Cleopas and his friend walking along the way with God in flesh right next to them? But he was veiled from their eyes because they couldn't look back into the scripture, and they didn't understand the things that had been taught by the prophets. The prophets were the one that had written the Bible. The prophets were the one that gave us the word. Through the prophet's word. And they failed to recognize that God was manifested in their midst because they didn't know what the prophets had said. Brother Brown said, the man who's seen the vision or heard his voice never altogether understood it. In many cases, he didn't know. Talking about prophets, they would speak the word because it wasn't their word. It was God speaking through them. He said it's God's thought expressed through man's lips. A thought, of course, is a word expressed. He'd done it in every age. He set forth a man for every age. What's he doing in every age? He's taking this word. This word is being planted in each one of our hearts. Every believer, there's a predestinated amount of believers in every age that are going to believe it. And the word is sown, and that actually makes the word being planted, because Romans says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's planted. It's sown. It's like the word of God is being planted in you. And that's how you're going to be resurrected. Because the word of God was planted in you. And if the word is planted in you, you're going to come up from the ground. Even if you die, you're going to come up. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a natural body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. That's why Brother Bram said, if you were a son or a daughter of God, you were in God all the time. But he knew, now listen to this, he knew what bed and time that you'd be planted. He knew the age that you'd be planted in. So now you're made a creature, a son of God, manifested son or daughter of God, to meet the challenge of this hour, to vindicate the true and living God of this hour. What's your predestinated plan and purpose? What's your purpose in this hour? What's your purpose in this church? To meet the challenge of this hour. That means when you go into your workplace and you hear all the cussing and all the vileness and everything, you're there to meet that challenge, to be a light to the people that you work with, to be a light to the people in your church. He said, that's right. You was done there before the foundation of the world, because God always knew that you were coming. Well, what a blessing and a promise that we had. Think about that. To know that God always had you in his mind. There on the cross, he had you in his mind. Now, if you're planted, what happens when a seed is planted? When a seed is planted, it starts adding nutrients and it grows and it grows and grows until it comes up. Brother Ram said, when a baby is conceived in the womb of a mother, when that one cell goes in there, another cell builds on top of that. It's not one cell of a human, the next of a dog, the next of a cat, and the next of something else. It's absolutely straightly human being. It's human cells building one on top of the other. Now, if you're feeding on this word of God, then what is it building? It's building word upon top of word on top of word until you come to a full stature. Well, he said when a man is born of the Spirit of God, he don't inject anything into his life. It's unadulterated word of God vindicated for that hour. He takes the full word of God. He don't put no creeds, nothing else into it. It's purely unadulterated God's word made manifest among us. So look in the Bible. Look in the Bible and you can see where what age we're living in then. When you see these great things being made manifest. What great things are you talking about, Brother Bob? I'm talking about the bride coming into fullness. I'm talking about these great things that you, as you eat the word, it builds word upon word because we're not reading an autobiography of somebody. We're reading the actual, we're eating from the body word of God, and we're believing on something that's not just like a book, a self-help book that you can get in the Christian bookstore. And these things are being added on to us until it comes. We're growing just like a little baby grows in the womb until it comes to a place where we've been built up. So look in the Bible and see where we are. Look in the calendar of God's word to see what time and what age we're living in. Brother Ram said, when a man or a woman is set under creeds and cold form of religion, if he's ordained to be a son of God and he sees the word of God preached in his power and God vindicated, he's an eagle to begin with. He'll run to it as sure as 2's 2 is 4. He can't help it because his very nature loves the word of God. That's what happens when you're born again. It'll take you right straight to the word. Why? Because that's where you get your nourishment. We're running to our El Shaddai. This is like a little baby that gets all of its nourishment and all of its strength from its mama, turns to the breast. When we have something that we know we need something, so we turn to God's word. And that's where we get all of our strength, all of our source of everything, the source of our life, the source of our strength in time of trouble is our El Shaddai. And you can't help it because your nature loves the word of God. He said, now we realize that we're living in a tremendous time and a great time. But when the truths of this Bible, believers have seen that vindicated, the very vindication of it is the evidence that God is in it. Amen. When you see God's word being made manifest in your life and in the church and in the bride and the people that you love and in your family, it's the that's the proof of it. It's then that the promised word that God's promised is made known. The seed is bursted forth and they see it and they believe it. Others just can't see it. Somehow they'll sit and look at it. Maybe like Cleopas and his friend. Just walking along and sit and look at it. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What's his will? Is his word. His will is, how are you going to know what you're supposed to do? If you look in the word and it says you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do his will. That's his will. If the Bible says you need to be born again, then your heart will be set on doing the will and you're going to do everything you can to be born again. Now, if the Bible says that not to forsake the assembling together, even so much as you see the day approaching, then you're going to do his will because the Bible says that's what you need to do. And you look into the Bible to see what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not acting the right way and doing the right way, then your heart will be motivated to match up with that because you want to do the will of God. But there's going to be a lot that will just say, Lord, Lord, and not do his will. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Brother Brown said, there's many people just can't believe it, even spirit-filled people. Amen. I'm going to give you one that'll choke you. These are his words. When you think about it, many spirit-filled people won't be able to believe it. He said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have nothing to do with your soul. That's the baptism, see? He said, here's the inside soul. And here, what's the inside soul? Faith or doubt? Do you believe? Now, not based on whether you have emotion or whether you went to a camp meeting or whether you went to a nice youth service and you ran up and down the aisle. But do you believe? Do you believe? Here's the inside soul in here that has to come from God. Remember, in that spirit, in the spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine spirit of God and still be lost. Right. See, that means you could be baptized in your spirit and you can sing good songs in church and you can do all the things that looks like a Christian would do and sit amongst people and put on a good show. But he said it's the soul that lives that was ordained of God. It's the soul that lives. Now look at all these examples in the Old Testament. of like Caiaphas did. He said, didn't Caiaphas prophesy? He was a devil. Them priests, them great men was supposed to be great leaders in them days with humility and everything else, but failed to see the word of God itself made manifest before them. Caiaphas failed to see the word of God there on the cross being crucified. He failed to recognize that that was the word of God. What did he do? He failed to believe that that was God in flesh. Balaam, when Balaam went out as a prophet, Brother Ram said, and went down there, a bishop, preacher, whatever you want to call him, he was a great man. But when he consulted God about going down there and cursing Israel, God told him, don't go. But he didn't believe. He didn't believe. And he said, now we find out Balaam, of course, he couldn't see. He went out and looked upon the people and said, now, just a minute. We're a great big people up here. You're just a scattered bunch, you see. And we all believe the same God. What was Balaam's doctrine? Let's sit on this for a little bit. Balaam's doctrine was we're all the same. What's so wrong about that? You see where the World Council of Churches believes that it turns into we're all the same. We're all the same. In other words, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter if these people are baptizing wrong over here, and it doesn't matter. We're just all. You see what a great deception that is. So when you begin to say, well, I don't understand why ministers are so critical of these different doctrines and things, or I don't understand why you're saying these people over at this other church aren't preaching according to what Brother Ram said. Are you say you got to be careful that you don't say, well, we're just all the same. Now, let's not go too far and start putting people out and say, well, I don't believe they're not born again or nothing. Well, I'm not saying that now. What I'm saying, though, is it matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. Now, see, Balaam was saying, it don't matter what we believe. Let's just all mix together. It's okay if your young people go marry people that are wearing pants and makeup and don't even believe like us. It's all right to do that because I just believe in mixing. That was Balaam's doctrine was, let's mix unbelief with belief. Let's mix it all together and put it in a pot and stir it up. And we'll just say we're all because that's what his doctrine. God doesn't want mixers. He wants separators. What a strange thing to think about that God wants you. Now see what we'll think. What we'll think in our mind sometimes that God wants us to just we want to be kind and loving to one another and lead people to the gospel. But he doesn't want us to do like Eve and just throw down the barrier and say, well, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just going to go out and listen to whatever. He wants us to discern the word. He wants us to be able to look at things with a discerning heart and say, that's true. Oh, that's not true. And when you say it doesn't matter anymore, then you're doing like Balaam. See how dangerous? I really want to stress that. It's dangerous when you begin to say that it doesn't matter. I could maybe nail that down a little bit more, but I'm going to back off a little. You see, Balaam couldn't see the difference. He couldn't see the difference. You think about that statement now. Couldn't see the difference. What difference? Between right and wrong. You see what a great blessing it is to be able to see the difference? Because there's many people, you know, that I've talked to, many people that can't tell the difference. When you listen to a wrong doctrine, can you tell the difference? When you listen to what some of the things that are being preached out there, does it matter? Does it matter to you? Can you tell the difference when somebody says, it's like we're just, well, Brother Ram said, you can't mix that leaven with the unleavened. Oil and water will not mix. Darkness and light will not mix. Light so much powerful that it just puts the darkness out. And so we cannot mix it together. Neither can you mix sin of the world together. You can't mix church and denomination together. You can't mix church and creed together. You can't mix the world and the gospel together. It won't mix. Come out from among them, be ye separate. You see, there had to come a time when Abraham separated from Lot. He walked along with him far enough, and then he kept, look, as you're walking up the stature of a perfect man, there's going to come a time where you have to pull back from people and say, well, that's great. I love you as a brother. I love you. But, you know, we're marching on. Why? Because you got to stay in line with the word. You got to stay with what the word says. It doesn't matter what the top tier preachers in the message you're preaching. It doesn't matter what the great men of the message were preaching. I'd rather stay with the word and eat soda crackers and sit by a branch and all the different things, preach to a fence post, than grab on to the coattails of the great men and the giant, so-called great men and the giants of the message, and go led off into something that will keep me from being able to take a body change. Because why? Because we're coming to a place where the life has got to go back into the grain. And it's only going to go back into the grain by the word. And the word is going to cause difference. The word is going to cause separation. You see, when you begin to say, well, we're just all going to lump together in a great big ball of love, and it just don't work, because the Bible is not meant to be that way. He said, I come to bring a sword. It'll cause division in the house. It'll cause people in your family to be like, why don't you believe? Like, why don't you come to our church where we have Starbucks and everybody, they take the pews out and everybody hops up and down while they have a light show in the church? You can't do that, because you can't just lump everything together like that, because that would make you a Balaam. Balaams could not see the difference. There's a truth and there's a false. There is a truth. No matter how we want to just lump everything together and just say, well, we just love everybody. We do love everybody, but you can't love false doctrine. Because false doctrine, a lie, a false doctrine comes from the devil. Anything false is a lie, and it came from the devil. Brother Raymond said, remember the sin that Israel did by Balaam, saying they're all the same. That sin never was forgiven Israel. The sin of saying they're all the same. He said Pharaoh couldn't see it. Balaam couldn't see it. Pharaoh couldn't see it, though it vindicated right before him. Dathan couldn't see it. He went out there and said, you try to think you're the only one of the bunch. The whole congregation is holy. God never deal like that. He ought to have known better than that. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. What is see? To discern. Now, I'm not talking about the discernment like Brother Branham had, the supernatural discernment, be able to tell whether somebody was looking at pornography at home or sleeping around with somebody or something. I'm talking about being able to tell whether something is true or false. Like where Brother Branham, where Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible, but the elect is going to be able to tell. To discern. How will you discern? By what comes out of somebody's mouth. And if what comes out of somebody's mouth is, it doesn't matter what we believe, it doesn't matter, we're all the same. Can you not discern? Can you not tell? Brother Brown said, so close look, the Bible said, in the last days the two spirits would be so close, it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. That shuck looks just exactly like the wheat, but it ain't the wheat. It looks like the wheat, but it ain't the wheat. It isn't the wheat, but it looks just exactly like it. It's going to church. It's sitting there saying, I believe a prophet. It's amen in the church. Now, I'm not preaching something where we're going around pink finger pointing at one another. What I'm preaching is that we should come to a place where we know. Why? Because the strength of the power of the Holy Ghost has come up in the church, where we know what we believe and we know what we stand for, and we do stand for something. If you don't know what truth is, how do you know what to stand for? You've got to stand for the truth. He said, remember, the wheat just keeps going on. Past all the carriers, past all the shuck, it just keeps on going on. In the resurrection, all that strength of the wheat will come right up into the wheat. Amen. All that strength of the wheat will come right up as it goes to make the head to come out in the great resurrection. Amen. All the strength of that wheat plant. That makes you as a believer, it makes you unique. It makes you supernaturally unique. That's why he preached that sermon, One in a Million, to think that there, he said, what if it'd be that way tonight? There's 500 million supposed to be, I think, Christians in the world about that figure, just a round figure. If the rapture would come tonight, then in the living, there'd only be 500 people, one in a million. One in a million that would go, because when you believe the word, it makes you unique. So why didn't Korah see that? Why didn't Dathan see that? Why didn't Ahab see that? Let's meditate on Ahab. I know the time's getting away. I'll be closing in just a minute. Hang on with me just a little bit longer. Why didn't Ahab see that? And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead, in 2 Chronicles chapter 18? And he answered it, I am as thou art. To Jehoshaphat answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. And Brother Brown said, oh, he do it. First of all, he starts off like Balaam, saying, we're all the same. But they weren't all the same. Now, you can't help being different. It's not you that says, I'm going to be different. But you know, you're not the same. You're not the same as the world. You've been called out and you've been made different. He said, Jehoshaphat, being a great religious man, he said, well, we should go up sure to our church. We're all the same people. But they wasn't the same people. They wasn't the same people. You don't look like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't dress like the world. And sometimes you don't dress like other churches. You don't act. You don't. Maybe you don't believe like other people do. He said, but in the Bible it says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me. You see how spirits work in the church sometimes. Ministers will be preaching. I remember growing up in the church, and I remember some of the older ministers preaching about how when they came into the gospel, like they'd want to like run somebody off the side of the road or something, because it's like, you know, there's something warring in you until something strikes to change your nature. And see, that's why sometimes people will hate the ministers and hate the things that are preached. They'll hate you and your standing for something, because when the truth comes against you, something in an unbeliever will rise up and lash out. Ahab said, "I hate him." He said, "Yes." Brother Brown said, "Yes, there is. There's one Micah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him. Always that way." I hate him because he's always just bawling out our people out and cursing me and telling me all the evil about me. I hate the man. Said, I don't let the king say so. Jehoshaphat said, go get him. I hate him. Now, you see, in 2 Timothy, it says that that's how people would be in this day, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinents, fierce despisers of those that are good. In Amos chapter 5, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. In Galatians 4:16, Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because I say the truth? See how we want the truth. The truth is what will set things in order. You know, honestly, I said in my mind when I got married that I was going to, if my wife gave me okra and I didn't like okra, I was going to tell her the truth. I don't like, even to this day, I don't like sweet potatoes. And I told her I don't like sweet potatoes because I don't want Amen. Sweet potatoes. So the truth, you know, a lot of people will get all drawn up. They won't tell their wife the truth because they're scared of her. Well, you can say it in love. I'm not talking about being silly or something, but you can have a frank conversation at your table with your family and just speak truth to one another. Because the truth is what will set you free. I'm not talking about to be without discretion. Don't be saying things without wisdom to one another. But you can say it in love and truth in a way that will change things. Amen. You know, if your wife's walking out of the house with a dress that's too short or too tight, you can pull over to the side and speak truth to her and say, you shouldn't wear that. And then she'll respect you more for it. Why? Because we want truth. The truth is what will set you free. That's why Brother Raymond said there happened to be a God, that to be that God had a man that they couldn't put their hands on him. God had his hands on him. He was just the reflector of God's truth. He was the reflector of God's truth. Truth. And in 2 Chronicles, it goes on to say, then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, came near and smote Micah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micah said, behold, thou shalt see, you're going to see on the day when thou shalt go in an inner chamber to hide thyself. You'll see then. Brother Ram said, the big bishop walked up and slapped him in the mouth, said, which way did the Spirit of God go? He said, because I know I had the Spirit. He might have really been anointed by the genuine Spirit of God, but down in his soul, he didn't believe. He said, I danced in it. I done all these things. See, I had the Spirit on me. Which way did it go? But he didn't believe. He didn't recognize the word that Micah was speaking. And Brother Ram said, Imla, being a son of God or a real prophet of God, he examined his vision with the word. He looked back to this book. He looked back to God's word. That's not just an autobiography, but it's a supernatural book. And Brother Ram said, remember, it was one word that caused the whole mess to come. Eve disbelieved one word of God. And the first of the Bible, one word caused the trouble. Jesus, come in the middle of the Bible, said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And at the end of the Bible said, whosoever shall take one word out or add one word to it. It's the whole word, all the word of the hour, what counts. And Micah said, I seen God sitting upon the throne. He called the delegates of heaven, said, who can we get to go down and deceive Ahab? Said, and one lying spirit come up and fell before God, a liar, a lying spirit. And where did Brother Bram say that lying spirit came from? In a lot of different places, he would say that lying spirit came up from hell. Because that's where lying spirits come from. Anything that's not the truth comes from hell. Now you think about that. Sometimes it's human that we're talking about listening to truth. Truth. And sometimes, many times it's human nature to not want the truth. That we'll listen. It's like almost an inclination to just not want to hear somebody tell you the truth. Somebody will say something about your behavior or the way that you act or whatever. Even sometimes maybe we don't want to hear the truth about our children. We'd rather listen to the lie of our that our children tell us than to have a Holy Ghost filled believer come around and say, well, your kids are not doing right, or your kids are smoking pot, or your kids are living in adultery, or your kids are going around in the church parking lot kissing people between services, or whatever it might be. I'm just coming up with examples. I'm just saying things. Listen, I'm speaking truth. Amen. Will you bear with me as I speak truth? Because truth is what we want. And listen, a lot of times, you know, a lying spirit, what is a lying spirit? A lying spirit will get on somebody to cover up something, to conceal something. You know, Herod got so offended when John the Baptist told him the truth. He was telling him the truth, and he began to preach marriage and divorce to him. And Herod didn't want to hear that truth because he would rather listen to a lie from somebody and live in his condition of sin than have somebody tell him the truth. Why is it human nature to prefer a lie over the truth? Maybe that's a question to meditate on. We'd rather hear a lie out of somebody's mouth if it'll make our life more convenient. If it'll make more things easier for us. A lie is something, an untrue statement with an intent to deceive. A lie is something with an intent to cover. I remember I was telling my family the other day. I remember when I was young and I'd get in trouble and I didn't have the Holy Ghost and I could lie. I'd lie to my mom, and she'd say, well, Bob, did you do such and such a thing? No. And I could look her in the face and lie like a rug. I could lie. And then, you know, going on, and then my kids would come around, and they'd, you know, yes, I'm going to preach on y'all. They'd come around, and I'd ask them, did you do such a thing? No. No. They'd lie. They'd lie. And you see now, listen now. I'm going to tell you a truth. If a Holy Ghost filled believer or a minister comes around and points out something, you better take a step back and evaluate things. Listen, because your kids, if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to lie. If they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, a little kid running around is going to snatch a cookie off the counter and say, no, I didn't get it. Are they going to put a big old dent in your car driving around and say, no, that wasn't me that did it. And they'll have it down so perfect where they can grin and look at you in the face and say, I didn't do it. And what is it? It's, you know, if you're really living right, you don't have to lie. Or even if you're not living right, just telling the truth will set you free. If you know there's a problem in your life, think about how much freedom you would have if you just come right out in the open and say, well, you know, I got this problem I'm dealing with. I got a temper or whatever. And just say, pray for me. I got a temper and I don't like it. I ran into a car at work and I dinged up the bumper or whatever. And it caused a big old mess. And I just need y'all to pray for me. And just tell the truth. Amen. Just speak truth. But you see what the devil is, a lying spirit. That lying spirit that came up against Micah, where did it come from? It didn't come from heaven. It came from hell. And any lying spirit, because anything that's contrary to the truth is from heaven. A lie is from hell. When Pilate was standing there talking to Jesus and he was asking, he said, what is truth? And truth was standing there right in front of him. And anything contrary to the truth is a lie. And that lie comes from the devil. And a lie is to deceive. A lie is to twist the truth. A lie is to distort things so that you don't find out the truth. Isn't that what the devil did in the garden, was distort the truth so that Eve wouldn't have power over him? And that's why, that's what a lying spirit does. It distorts the truth to keep the young people from being free. It'll distort the truth from keeping your home in order. That's why a lying spirit will get on some adulterous person or somebody and they'll come home and say, no, I wasn't at that place. No, you can't look at my phone. No. But let's search things out and prove them. And you know what the devil will do? The devil will get on some young people and make them do something and tell lies about it to cover up and get them in a horrible place. He'll make a young person do something horrible, get them off, do something terrible, and then he'll turn around and point that finger right back at you and say, look what you did. And then he'll make you hate yourself. He'll make you feel so rotten and so terrible. Now, you know there's a remedy for that. The remedy is to run to the feet of the cross. There's a remedy here. Laying in these words. Because this ain't just an autobiography. These are the words of eternal life. And there's a remedy for that when you get in that spot. And now look what the devil will do. The devil will make you, sometimes he'll make you start hating yourself so bad that you'll get in your closet and you'll think, I hate myself. And you'll start cutting on yourself. You'll start doing stuff that don't make no sense. And then maybe your mom and daddy will find out. And what's mom and daddy's reaction a lot of times when they find out their kids have got in the pit of despair? And the devil's making them beat up on theirself and make them hate theirself. The mama and daddy, a lot of times they react without wisdom, and they start yelling and screaming, what's wrong with you? What? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. The devil has got them in the pit of despair. And what you need to show them in that moment is not to drop an anvil on their head, but you need to love them. Show them some love and lead them to God and tell them, now listen, I know the world, it looks like the world's against you. I know everything. This ain't in my notes. It looks like the world's against you and everything's against you, but there's a God in heaven that loves you and I love you. You know, you should always have your home set up as to be like a sanctuary for the young people so that they know no matter what they do. This is what I've always told my kids, no matter when they were doing things they should. Well, no matter what you do or where you go, you don't ever forget that your mama and daddy love you. And you always have a sanctuary here in this home. No matter what you do, you can always come back here because this is a place when the world gives you lemons, when the world takes you down and throws you in the gutter, you can always have a place where you can come back here and sit in the rocking chair next to the fire and pull up a quilt over you and listen to a tape playing in the background and hear mom and daddy crying out that God will save you. Why? Because you got to show somebody love. Love is how you win one another. Love will conquer a lying spirit. If you show somebody that you love them, it'll change everything. Now, Brother Branham said, now if people say signs and wonders, look at what a lying spirit is. He said, if people say signs and wonders don't follow, it's a lying spirit because it's contrary to the word. If the Bible says people tells you the Holy Ghost ain't in this day the same as it was in the other days, it's a lying spirit. Anything contrary to the word is a lying spirit. Why? Because it's anything that will take from you a blessing that God has given from you, or add to you all these requirements that you don't need to meet. Anything that will add to or take from the word of God is a lie. It's a lying spirit. It's them false prophets. They're telling you a lie. If the spirit just says, oh, liberation of women and do all these other things and go out, act like the world, it's a lying spirit. It's not lined up with the word. Stay in the word. That's right. Stay right there. Amen. Now, look at all these that couldn't see it. And I'm going to wind up in just a minute. He said, now, Caiaphas couldn't see it. And Judas couldn't understand it. But believers can see it. Believers can see it. Why can they see it? Why could Cleopas and his friend not see it? Because they didn't know what the word said. But believers can see it because they know what the word says. Amen. Believers can look into the word and they can recognize the day and the hour that we're living in. Amen. Now, I'm going to close right here. In just a second. God sent his prophet as his word had promised of Malachi 3, John the Baptist, a messenger I'll send before my face to forerun his coming. And watch what his message was. Now, Brother Bram said his message was, he said, watch that forerunner of Christ in that age. Watch what he said would happen. The grain. He said, he said in this message, this is what Brother Bram said. I hope you're not asleep. He said, and I hope you're not asleep. He said, the grain is here. The grain is here. It was that bride, that part of it. But what did he say will happen to the stalk? It'll be burned with quenchable fire. And notice in Luke 17 where he said, in the last days it'll come like Sodom and Gomorrah again. Have we got it? We got Sodom and Gomorrah again? In Luke 17 it says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When it's back to that Sodom and Gomorrah condition. In the day, Brother Bram said, in the day that the Son of Man will be revealed, the world will be in a Sodom condition. We've got it, haven't we? In Romans chapter 1, for this cause gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Why? Because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. So they turned away from God's word and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. So in the age of the maturation of the works of the devil, that's when the Son of Man will be revealed. When all the devil's works come to this mature form, that's when Christ is doing something. You see how you can tell by looking at God's word what day and hour that we're living in? So how will he be revealed? How will the Son of Man be revealed? How will he be made known? How will a believer be able to tell and the rest of the world will not be able to tell? How did you recognize the prophet's message as the truth? How could you tell? Now, Brother Ryan said, notice how, and I'm winding up right here. Notice how Jesus made himself known to these disciples. These two disciples, Cleopas and his friend. He's here the same today as he was that day. And revealing himself more today than he has in any other age since that day. Come through the wheat and stalk and shuck is all past now. We're into the wheat again. See, we're back into the grain. Watch how he made himself known to these people. He said, now remember, as their Messiah of the promised word of the age. Watch him. He refers back to the word of God. He never come right out and told them, don't you know me? I'm the Messiah that's resurrected. He never said that. See, he just give them the scripture like John did and the rest of them. See, they have to pick that out themselves. That leaves a job for you and I. That you gotta discern whether it's true or not. They have to judge for themselves. Now, Brother Brown said again, now don't go to sleep. Judge for yourself. Judge for yourself. He said, he is John. Let the word of the Bible identify him, what he was to them. That should have been plain enough. If the word had identified him, that should be plainly who the promise was they was looking at. Now, wouldn't you love to have been like, you say, the fly on the wall to listen, to just kind of buzz along next to Cleopas and his friend and Jesus walk down the road? Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to do, to listen to that conversation? Do you believe that because listening to a prophet, you can go back and understand what Jesus told him? That's actually what Brother Brown said in this sermon. He said, now let's listen to the words that he quoted. Think about that. You can listen to a sermon and Brother Brown can replay to you the scriptures and the topics and the things that Jesus told these two brothers, these two friends, as they walked down the road. He said, would you like to hear what he said to them? Let's just carry their conversation now. Everybody's awake now. So this is what Brother Brown said, that Jesus said as he walked next to Cleopas and his friend, who did not recognize that Jesus was in their midst, that God was in flesh. He said he started off, the Bible says he started off with Moses. He started off with Deuteronomy 18:15, and I'm going to be closing it after this. He said, Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And Zechariah 11, now Brother Abraham said, these are the things that Jesus told Cleopas and his friend. Zechariah 11 says, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And Psalm 41 says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And Zechariah 13 says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And Psalm 35 says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Now think about Jesus as he's walking and he's where's he going? Back to the word. And he's pulling out of the word these scriptures that paint a picture of who he is. And as these words, as the story unfolds, they begin to realize that he's in their midst. So Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah 50 says, and I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Psalm 22 says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Isaiah 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Psalm 22 says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Isaiah chapter 7 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Psalm 22 says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Psalm 22, 14 to 18 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And all these things were what Jesus told Cleopas and his friend. And Brother Branham replayed all these things in this sermon. He listed out all these scriptures that Jesus quoted to them. Isaiah 53 says, therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And Isaiah 53:9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Psalm 16 says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And Malachi 3 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And he said, it was now that they began to see who had fulfilled these scriptures that was promised of that day. It was then, after it was late, they began to see. As the day grew on and the sun began to sink, the evening light began to come on. And what are the evening lights? The evening lights will shine in this latter time, as the sun sinks, as it begins to get darkness. When you believe the word for your day, and the light begins to shine in your heart, you actually become a light to shine in this evening time. You are that evening light. And how will you be identified as the musicians come? You will be identified just the same way that Jesus was identified. That you can look back into the word of God and see what the word says about you. That you can recognize your place in the word. That you traveled the same journey that Abraham did. You came the same way that Ruth did. You came the same journey that David did. That you did not disbelieve the word like Eve did. And you came through all these battles and things like the children of Israel did through the wilderness. And you came into the promised land of the rest of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said they knew because, see, they hadn't been briefed on the scriptures. But if you believe, if you look into the scriptures and you believe, you can look back into the scriptures and recognize your day and its message. Let's stand to our feet and just worship.
There's a call come ringing.
Let's just worship the Lord.
Westless waves in the light.
Sing the light of blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Sing the light and let its radiant beam light the world forevermore. We have heard the Lord call today. Sing the light, sing the light. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessing gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, and let it fade and beam like the world forevermore.
Let us pray that grace may everywhere.
Send the light,
and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found.
Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed radiant beam. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown of love. Send the light, send the light, send the light.
Send the gospel light, let it shine
from shore to shore. Send the light.
Amen. The strength is back in the grain. You just love the Lord tonight. Let's just go ahead and pray, and we'll just be dismissed. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your grace to us in this hour, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for opening your word to us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll just go with your saints as they go the different ways tonight, Lord, that you'll give them traveling mercies and be with them and watch over them, Lord God. Watch over them in the coming week, Lord Jesus, that you'll, Lord, just put a spring in their step and a song in their heart, Lord, as we go our different ways. We ask these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.